it is time for Night Shift.
Reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Enlightening is a more appropriate word. Enlightening, because it is a forever movement through that which you call the Father, God, the Source, Creator, Creative Spirit, a forever movement. Enlightening, forever making that journey. into the Father. You, in this moment, are thinking. But what is difficult to understand is in this moment we are not thinking. We know how to use thought, but we are not thinking. We are not identified with thought. For all that is within us and of us is that which is called silence. And the words that come in this moment come deliberately, consciously. Enlightened means a master of thought. Thought is a great tool. But oftentimes man has become imprisoned, woman has become imprisoned by thought. We are not imprisoned by thought. Rather, we know how to use thought when it is appropriate, as a creative rising, rather than as that which is called a bondage. We do not worry when we are with you as we are with you now. There is nothing that we are more focused upon. Not what you are. When we are with you, as we are with you now, there is nothing, nothing that we are more focused upon than that which you are. But simultaneously, like the wave of a radio, we are focused into nothingness. We are focused into all things. Contemplate. There is a radio station broadcasting radio frequency. There are many radios, and the music or the voice is equally received by all of them. That is the way we are focused upon you, but we do not worry. We are not bound by thought, because when we are not with you, we love you, but we don't think of you.
Thank you. wakes me up when I go to a jazz club. I go to a jazz club first to hear the music, but second of all, and this is a very important reason, to dig the people. The people in jazz nightclubs are the funniest.
You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI, and I'm here with Mario and Mandela Van Peebles. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, so here's my first question, and the question is to you, Mario. When, considering who your dad is and everything, when did you first know that you wanted to be a storyteller?
I think I was around 11.
Okay.
11 years old. I had done a play called A Thousand Clowns, and I played a character named Nick. But I think maybe even earlier than that, we didn't have TV, and I would tell stories to my younger sister. And it was at that point when she would say, she would really like, look, I'll do this if you tell me another story. I'll do that. I realized that I could make people laugh and feel and think with narrative. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. You know, that you could leave an impression or, you know, get them somewhere, take them to a different place through narrative, through storytelling. And that was it. I was kind of hooked. But so then it was more what medium it would be. Would it be in writing, acting, directing, you know, what
all of it.
All of it. Mm-hmm. And seeing the old man just pick up and do stuff. And look, one thing that's cool is that when you grow up with a father who can not only, you know, teach you how to play ball, but how to own the team, that's exciting. Whether you choose to, you know, be in film or not, you know, like if you grew up as Margaret Thatcher's daughter, whether you want to go into politics or not, it'd be very hard for folks to convince you that women could have no place in politics because Mama was bad and she did it. So I think the great advantage for me growing up with Melvin Van movies was that my father was not incarcerated or in the, you know, it wasn't a janitor, it wasn't a, you know, he was a brother that could direct, work with people all colors, put it together, make it happen, make it pop, and get it done. And that was exciting. Get it done and get it out there. It's like Cosby said at the end of The Badass, you know, some folks say, follow your dreams. He said, Melvin had a dream, woke up, and got his dream done. That's cool. So I think that was really a big thing for me to see that. So I just applied my dad's ability to get shit done to what I wanted. And I think there are three loves in your life. Love what you do. Love who you do it with, the folks you work with, and love what you say with it.
Okay. All right. That's pretty powerful. And then the last contextual question that I'm going to get to, Mandela, is, and it's a two-part question. Mm-hmm. What do you think makes a good story, and, you know, or a story worth telling? And what do you think the importance is in our culture of having stories, having film, having this medium, being able to use it?
Both interesting questions. Let me go to the last one first. What's important about it? I think there's many things. First of all, I think on a very basic human level, early on, human beings, you can see it with kids. Before they can talk, they know how to play make-believe. You can play with a baby and pretend like you're hiding in peekaboo, and the baby will go, oh, and they get make-believe, or you're pretending to be a dog or a cat, or you make-believe a door is there or something. Kids have an innate sense of make-believe. And I think there's a place for that in the human experience that is central to who we are. We need to sleep, but we don't just need to sleep. We need dream sleep. We need REM sleep. When that rapid eye movement happens and you're dreaming, you need to trip into some other life or place. If you're denied sleep too long, you go nuts. They put you in, you just go bananas. Sure. So you've got to be able to dream. I had a friend of mine, a brother from Panama, and he said to me once, he wanted to go watch a movie. He said, man, it's time for me to trip on somebody else's life. I got to get out of my life and go into somebody else's life. And someone else described watching a movie for the first time as dreaming in the middle of the day with their eyes open, having a common experience dream with all these other people.
That's what Sid Field says.
That's really deep. So I think that there's something about storytelling. And in a way, film that is really kind of central to something about us. In addition to that, you know, having Jackie Robinson play baseball didn't mean baseball was integrated. It meant we had one great baseball player who happened to be African American. Having Obama as a president does not mean we're post-racial. It means we have a guy who's president who happens to be, you know, biracial brother, which is great. That's a good thing. But we're not post-racial. And I think as you can, see, you know, from what we've seen recently, with since our movie, you know what I mean? How when you put real stuff in your movie, it's very possible that real stuff will happen, and it seems like it's imitating your movie, and you're like, what?
You know what I mean?
My son's wearing a hoodie today, but I made sure he's disarmed. I took away his Skittles and his iced tea.
I understand.
You know what I mean? So when you put something real in a movie, life can imitate art, and sometimes art imitates life. But I think to that second question again is, since we're no longer post-racial, and the isms are still alive, the lookism, sexism, classism, racism, what that means is we still have an opportunity with film, something like film or television, to show the world who we are. So there's a responsibility, really, to say this is who we are. If we allow Hollywood to say all you are is comedies and dudes dressing up in dresses and wigs, that's funny and that's cool. There's a place for that. But if they reduce it down and say, well, this is the only voice you're going to hear, the only voice we're going to get behind, as good as that voice may be, it gets reductive. You see what I'm saying? So if we don't say, wait a minute, we got some kids out of here who say smart's the new gangster. We got a bunch of 17-year-old black boys in this movie, and ain't nobody shooting, and nobody dying, and ain't nobody a criminal in this movie. And Mandela can speak to this one situation. We'll get to that later on in the context of the film. So if we can say, if we say to an audience, if Cosby says, you know what, America's funniest father happens this time to be black. And you may say, well, that's not really right because that's not legit. You got two professionals in the same family, and they're clean and they're loving with their kids, and they're no crack and spray paint. That's just really not really real. Well, guess what? 20 years later, it's real, it's alive, it's in the White House, and the generation that voted for Cosby to be America's funniest father voted for the Obamas to be in the White House. I don't think that's an accident.
I agree 1,000%.
So, but what that means is that what we say about us will be held against us. When the lawyers, when they pick you up, they're supposed to say, hey man, you have a right to an attorney. Right? Because what you say could be held in court against you. If we want to make rap videos and talk about bitches and hoes and money and shooting up shit, that will be held against us. If we want to make comedies and act buffoony and clowny, that's okay, but that can be held against us. And I'm okay with some of that, because that can be some of us. But I also want to see us as Malcolm. I also want to see us as the Panthers. I also want to see us as lawyers and doctors and as the Obamas. That's important, and that's also real. So I think it means there's an opportunity for filmmakers to say, hey, we, especially for filmmakers of color who say, you know, we don't like the way that his story is going, so we got to make this our story. You know what I mean? And if you make it our story and say, in the context of our story, let's not be afraid to have a conversation with our kids that society's already started. They started that conversation with your daughter early on about hypersexuality when she saw that cover of Britney Spears. They saw that conversation early on with my sons when they see the representation of young black men on TV is throwing dollars in the air and drinking Moe and driving Bentleys. You see what I'm saying? So they've started that conversation. So in the context of a movie, if you can continue that conversation, that's a good thing. I know that's a long answer, but you asked me a big-ass question.
Yes, I did. All right, now I have a question for you, Mandela. Knowing what your dad is, who he is, what he represents, when did you know, it's a two-part question, when did you know you wanted to be a storyteller? And was there any time where you wanted to reject, you didn't want to do what your dad did? Or did you always embrace it?
I mean, for a while I was just open to whatever career paths were there because I didn't know what I wanted to be. You know, I've always been artistic. I've always loved to draw. I always loved to do music. I like to sculpt. And I think art is just such a wonderful thing that any medium you do it through, you can enjoy it and express yourself, you know. And that's cool to me because I still don't know, you know, maybe I want to be a painter. But I can still be an actor and express myself that way too. I can express myself through music. And, you know, part of the beauty of working with my dad is he wants the best for me. You know, he wants to see me do my best. And, you know, if I got a booger in my nose, he's going to tell me. So, you know, if I don't know my lines, he'll say, look. Exactly. And that's part of the beauty. So I don't know my lines. He'll say, look, go take 5 minutes, learn your lines, come back. I don't want to see you mess up on screen and have all these people watch. That's one of the other beauties of working on a project with him where he has a position of power is, you know, I don't want people to think it's just nepotism. I just got the role because I'm his son, you know. I had to, you know, try and learn my lines. I learned all my lines. I showed up early on set. I set an example for the other cast so that it didn't look like, oh, look, he's his son showing up late. I said, I'm going to show up early. And if they think, okay, if that's his son showing up early, I at least got to be on time. And it's kind of cool like that because it's a symbiotic relationship where, you know, he's got my back, I got his. And if he wrote something that kids wouldn't say in the script, like, yo, brother, what's up? How are you doing, fam? Like, I would say, yeah, no one says that, man. Why don't you say, yo, it's good, man? Or something like that. And, you know, make it feel, yeah, make it feel more real and, you know, down to earth what kids would actually say and do. And that's a cool thing, I think. But I think We the Party really clicked to me because it was such a blast to make. And I see it done and I'm like, wow, it looks good too. It was fun to make and it doesn't look like crap. And, you know, I think if I can do more of that, that'd be wonderful. But it's really not up to me, you know. It's up to the viewers. What do they like? Do they want to see more of me? Because we'll all find out April 6th, you know, what happens. Or maybe April, you know, 12th or whatever. But we'll figure out, you know, did they think I do good? You know, that's part of the key of it.
In New York, tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, and this is Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with Elena Fulgham. Elena, where are you? Talk to me, Elena. I'm trying to see what... You switched microphones. Where are you? Talk to me again.
How's that?
No, go back to the other one. Go back. No. Let's take that one. Take that one. Let me hear. No, talk to me.
I'm here.
Okay, there you go. Chris, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris is here. So, that was an interview with Mario and Mandela Van Peebles. And it's just for those who don't know who Melvin Van Peebles is or Mario Van Peebles is. And I was just giving the mystery guest a little film lesson here. Chris? Hold on a second. I hear something.
What do you
mean? Right here. Maybe it's my, yes, I hear the interview still continuing. Okay, so just in case you don't know or you've lived under a rock, Melvin Van Peebles is considered by many the godfather of the blaxploitation film era with his seminal film Badass, or Sweet Sweet Back's Badass song, I should say. And Mario went on to make a film which was seminal of its time during the second, let's just say, golden age of black film, or during the third golden age of black film, prior to the there's the Oscar Me Show, there's the blaxploitation, and there's what happened in the 90s with Spike Lee and John Singleton and Hughes Brothers and Warrington and Hudlin Brothers, all that. Anyway, Mario made a film called New Jack City. Do you remember that film, Chris?
Very much.
Yes, and at the time, what's that?
We raved about it. It was a great
of course
film.
It was great. It was great. It was fun, but it was also of the time, and it made a number of actors. It was Wesley Snipes put him on the map, and the soundtrack. It was Ice-T, I should say, his first time he acted, and he's pretty much played, you know, that rough cop thing forever. Yeah. What's the show he's on now, Elena?
He has a new show.
No, well, he may have a new show now, but he was on a cop show for a long time. Yeah. Switch to the other microphone. Go to the brown one there, Elena, because...
It's purple.
Is that purple?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, maybe it was purple at one time.
It's a Barney.
It doesn't seem very purple to me now.
Barney.
And let me turn you off.
Like the Barney in her mouth.
Anyway.
Nice.
Well, obviously, because you just said how I wouldn't know.
Well, it's a very dark purple, let me just say that.
Yeah, well, they usually are dark purple.
That's dark. It looks like chocolate to
me. You ain't getting through. I'm not going to let you get through when it keeps snapping. Go ahead.
You can color correct it later.
I will color correct. New Jack City was a great film, and I also really, you know, he did a couple other films that I didn't love as much, like Posse and whatnot. But he did another film that I really appreciated. The one he did for the. Did you ever see Badass? The film that he did on his father's life and making. Backs.
But I know you reviewed it.
It's very good, very good. He made a film about his father's life. Anyway, so he's got a new film called We Are the Party. I definitely think you should see it. It's definitely, again, of the time, of the age. And it's interesting what will happen because he's distributing it in a sort of a different manner, you know, similar to what his dad did when he did his film. But I thought it was very interesting to see three generations of black filmmakers and, you know, sort of a... You know, there isn't really an African American film dynasty. You know, there's the Wayans brothers, and there's I'm talking about generation. Will Smith. Yeah, Will Smith. He's got his son acting now. So there's the beginning of a dynasty. So there it is. But what's that? No. Why did you switch mics? What? Get off the bed, Mike. Why are you in the bed? She is listening to Elena, who's...
You sat my clearly, mic before. Remember, you sat me down. You set my mic.
No. Okay. Elena is trying to steer you wrong. She is. She's like, get on the mic that's really low. Go right. Get on the low mic, yes. I mean, the snow-covered.
I'm the diva that wants all the attention.
Exactly. Anyway, so I do want to tell you what the theme is, and I do have a number of Life is Like Science fiction stories. I didn't distribute them because we got a little distracted there. And we are streaming.
What was the name of their film, of Mario's film?
It's called We Are the Party.
We Are the Party.
I'm sorry, We the Party. We the Party.
And it's opening when?
It opened this past Friday.
It opened this past Friday.
It's in theaters right now.
Excellent. Okay.
So, yes, you may go see it.
I wish them a lot of luck because they're really happening.
Yes. So, are you ready for the theme?
Yes, we're ready.
Should I start streaming?
I'm holding on to my ass.
I'm going to start streaming right now.
You're holding on to what?
Holding on to my ass.
Oh.
Anytime Mike starts a theme, I worry. Now, Mike goes deep.
I do. You know. I brought props too. I brought various props.
Yeah. Are you trying to stream tonight? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm about to stream.
Okay. All right.
Hooray for us. Yay.
We're streaming now.
You know, Mike, I wasn't sure. I'm glad we're doing a show tonight because I wasn't sure if we were doing one.
Oh, really?
Well, I was in the middle of lovemaking all night, and then it dawned on me. I was in the middle of this whole, like, wonderful night.
And that is science fiction.
Lovemaking, and then I realized that we got to do a show.
Well, you didn't have to. I mean, if I was in the middle of lovemaking, I would not be going on the show.
Okay, I think you are streaming. Is that what just happened?
I think so.
Elena and...
Elena, what are you reading, Elena?
You're not going to like it.
But I just want to bring it up while you're prepping. I'm prepped. I'm about to give you articles. What do you have there, Elena? Just tell me what it is.
Hot dog stuffed crust pizza.
Elena?
Yes.
That is not Life's Like Science Fiction, just so you know.
Come on, if you can put
Elena.
Pizza in a crust?
No.
I mean,
Elena,
a hot dog?
That is not even...
Isn't something you should discuss before the show of this? Sorry.
No, Elena likes to do things like this.
What was bizarre, Mike, is all the pictures you kept sending me all weekend of your bunny rabbit. You kept sending me pictures. I didn't know you really had a bunny rabbit.
I don't have a bunny rabbit.
And then you had bunny rabbit stew or something.
I don't have a bunny rabbit.
No, Elena, he sent me a picture. He washed his bunny. Right? He had it in a tub or something. Then he showed me a tub full of carrots with his rabbit. So the rabbit was happy. And then, you know, 5 hours later, they're sitting there eating rabbit stew. And I was just, happy Easter, he said. So.
No. Stop it. Stop
am I right,
madness.
Mike, or what? Am I making
no,
it up?
No, you're making it up.
You ate a bunny?
No. This is what Chris is, you know.
My fantasy?
Yeah, clearly.
You know what's interesting right now? What's very interesting is you guys look like, the two of you together.
They look like news reporters,
right? There's a very interesting sexual dynamic happening between the mystery guest and Elena in what I can see.
Okay, well, we'll do something in the next hour.
Okay.
In the next hour.
Yeah.
You'll do something to... All right, well, I'm going to tell you what the theme of the show is, and I'll bring up some music here. Let's see what I can do.
Well, you should tell everyone if they want to check out this incredible...
All right, go to the Facebook. Yeah, go to the Facebook page, the Night Shift. If you go to the Night Shift Facebook page, there's a link to the Ustream. What's the Ustream address, Chris?
It's Ustream.tv.
I think it's Night Shift One. Can I say one other thing I did this week? Hung out with Chick Corea
and it was just incredible. So I love him, and he left for like 2 months in Europe now. He's touring.
Hey, that is not
night.
The address, Chris. You just gave out an address that is not the address.
It's not the address?
No.
All right, well, why don't you tell me what the address
is? I don't know what the address is. I thought you would know.
That's not the address?
Mr. Guest, can you go to the Facebook page and tell us the address?
Okay, I already went. It's www.ustream.tv. Channel Night Shift. But if you go on Night
Channel
Shift...
Channel Night Shift. Oh,
yes,
okay.
But if you go on the Facebook page of Night Shift, you can find it easily.
Now, is it Channel Night Shift one word or what?
No, it's Channel and then dash Night Shift one.
Dash or...
Dash. Night Shift one.
What do you consider dash? Like this or like this? That's not a dash.
Oh, sorry.
That's it's a slash.
Forward slash. That's correct.
Okay.
No, like, you know what, that's not what it says on my, oh, it does say channel, this is right, channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, goodness.
Exactly. He's just part of the show, you know what I'm saying?
Too much lovemaking before the show, that's not allowed anymore.
You know, Mike and I have had a theory about this, that
why you bring me into your theory?
If you get up, too much up in it, then you get, like, whatever that is, head. You know what I mean? Like, you get kind of, head, you know, not, I mean, you follow what I'm saying?
No.
No.
If you get up all up into it, then like you get like head, you know. I mean you're getting head.
Sorry, so myself right. In videos.
I'm assuming nobody really knows what Chris is talking about. I'm going to tell you the theme. Can I tell you the theme now?
Please. Nobody has to know what I'm talking about. Everyone's just laughing, okay? Because if you're not laughing, it's funny. I think it's funny. Okay?
Very funny.
He thinks
what's
he's
the theme,
funny.
Loved up?
You know, in Italy, we say you are singing, you are playing.
I had a friend who used to say, you're in your own movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the same concept.
Wait, stop. You had a friend?
Mike has many friends. They're all on hold right now.
Okay, I got it.
And he refuses to return their calls.
Well, you know how it goes. Well, hi, Elena. How are you? It's been a long time.
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah. I forgot to bring my adapter.
I'm all groomed.
So you forgot to bring your adapters? What does that mean, Mike?
No close-ups.
Well, we don't need any
thank goodness.
Though.
Please stop doing that. I can't do everything.
Well, you know, now there's like 10 people watching. Give out the address. You want to give it out one more
time?
Everybody want. Listen, Elena, don't do that. That's really scary.
I have it in my computer.
Why?
Elena's making sexual gestures over the internet.
That's okay. I can't help it. This shirt doesn't fit properly.
No, I know. Listen, if you have to readjust the whatever it is all the time, go ahead.
I have to readjust the whatever it is.
Elena likes clamps, I could just tell.
Hmm?
Likes
clamps.
Lamps? Yes.
Clamps. No, clamps.
Oh.
Clamps. No. She's got a green thumb.
No,
okay, I'm going to tell you the theme now. Now we start to digress. All right, the theme is change, because here's my thought.
Again?
Here's what I was thinking. And
Chris,
this,
have how? I'm
no.
Sorry to interrupt.
Can I tell you the theme first before you interrupt? Okay, the theme is change, and here's why, and here's what I mean about change. And here's the question specifically: helping someone organize their apartment, get their stuff organized, get stuff moved out, packed up. And part of what I'm trying to establish with them is a sense of permanence, because sometimes, you know, you have a tendency to put things here, put things there, and, you know, you put it there for just temporarily, and then it just piles up, and then you have piles around your apartment or your house or whatever, because you never really got back to whatever it is, and you put this aside because you're going to get to that, and it just piles up. And I thought, Then I also thought, change. How often when change comes, and because I'm facing some change right now, how often when change comes, you go, huh, you know, you fight it. You didn't want this change. It's unwanted change. I didn't want this change. Why do things have to change? But then sometimes or eventually you embrace that change. And when you embrace it, you realize, wow, I didn't see all these benefits from this change. Yes, I'm losing this, or I sense the loss or feel the loss of that, but there's so much to be gained by embracing this change. And I thought, well, you know, how often or how we deal or how we embrace change has a lot to do with how we've set up permanence. And I thought about that apartment and putting that apartment together. Very often, you know, in life, you're doing something because at the time this became the thing to do. You know, it could be smoking, it could be anything. And then the reasons you do it fade, and it's just part of what you do. And even if it doesn't serve you anymore, you're still doing it. And especially with bad habits and like those things in your house that pile up there all around. So sometimes in the midst of change, if you're lucky, you can start to point the change in a certain direction. You can say, okay, well, I can take this change and do this and do that and not get to this thing that I hadn't gotten to, whatever. So you can then sort of create the change you want. And I thought, what if you could just start creating the change you want as opposed to waiting for something to come along and change? Now, ideally, this is what we all do. But here's a question for you, Elena. Has there ever been something that you fought, did not want to change, did not want to happen, and then it did? And when you did embrace it, it was probably the best thing that could have happened.
So you're doing the reverse. So I didn't want to change. I didn't change it, and I was like,
you didn't want it to change. You didn't want it to happen. But once when it did, and when you finally embraced it, it was the best thing.
Sure, but I mean, along the vein of what you just said, like, you know, I'm not a long distance runner.
Okay.
And, like, I'll change. I'll clean maybe once or twice, or I'll, you know, try to better myself on a daily basis. Whether it's go to the doctor for this or do something for work for that, but at the end of the game, I never. Like I said, I'm not long distance. I don't keep it up at all. So it's never rewarding enough for me.
All right, so you never create the kind of change you want. But my question, though, is when was there some change that you didn't embrace, that you fought, but it came anyway? And when you finally embraced it, it was the best thing that could have happened. I mean, it could be anything, Elena. But I just want to know something that really ended up being a good thing for you. It could be the loss of a job, a relationship. Place you're living.
No, it's an interesting point, but
so no, it's never happened.
It's
never happened where change came, and you didn't want it to, but then when you embraced it, it was the best thing. That's never happened to you. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think I have.
Okay, well, you know,
I don't think I'm
a unique person.
The reflection to say that it actually did happen, or I didn't recognize it. I guess that's probably
you didn't recognize change in your life.
Well, I see the change, but I didn't take advantage of its opportunities.
Okay.
So.
And you've never just benefited from change, whether you planned to or not?
I'm sure I have benefited, but did I take advantage? No. That's my point.
Okay, well, you know, you don't have to necessarily take advantage, but at least you could see the benefit.
Well, I just think if you don't reflect on it and you just get change, then it's still not going to be beneficial in the end.
Well, I'm not asking you to judge the change, but okay, I'll accept your answer, Elena.
Okay.
I will accept your answer.
Should I form in a question?
No. Okay. That's Chris? Were you following all of that?
What do I?
Were you following all of that?
You know, I can follow Elena.
Good.
You give it to the end of the earth?
Well, you know, at least down to the end of the road.
All right. So you tell me, Chris, what about
Dude,
you?
I really don't. I can't, you know, I can say is I don't know the answer to that at the moment. But I do know that the interesting analysis of the situation is that as we get older, we hate change, don't we?
Don't bring me into your hypothesis.
Well, it just seems that way. It just seems like an interesting analysis. We get older, we hate change, we fight change, we get so sedimentary in our ways of existing that we want to have our piles in different places so that we feel that we can block the aliens from coming in a different direction. The more piles you have, the less the aliens can get to you, in my opinion.
The glasses of water aren't working anymore?
Well, you know, sometimes that's the case. But I find that I have to think about the answer to that because
I haven't had
a lot of change. I mean, the only changes that happen that are disruptive is that eBay is constantly making changes every 6 months or 8 months, and that's constantly affect how I do business on there, and that's very, very, I don't necessarily conform to it. I have no choice. And then it seems to kind of work out just because, you know, but I hate it. I hate that they're constantly making changes, and they feel that they're bettering the site and so forth, and it's basically, I'm always losing money. So the only thing I could say is that for the last 5 years, eBay has made changes consistently every 6 months to 8 months to every year. And every time they make a change, I seem to lose money that I was making.
It's not quite the change I'm talking about, Chris, but I understand.
It's not necessarily a change, but it's something I can think of off the top of my head. I'm so sorry for not being able to participate.
I understand. Hello, you're in the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I was wondering, I had a question. If I had a script I think you'd really like, how would I get it to you? What would be the best way?
You would send it to the mystery guest. I'll give you the address of the station.
Oh, to the station?
Yes.
Okay. I will address it to you? Or?
Yeah, you can address it to me. Put me and mystery guest. You could address it to me. I should have you send it to Elena. Elena?
Yes, I'll read your script.
You will?
Right.
Of course you will. All right, you could send it, address it to me or address it to Elena, but make sure you put Night Shift on there. And
yeah, if you address it to me, it goes somewhere.
All right. So do you spell your name E-L?
A-I-N-A, and my last name is F as in Frank.
A-I-N-A?
Yes, that's it. Don't double guess me.
Yeah.
And my last name is F as in Frank, U-L-G-H-A-M.
She paused for a second, like, wait.
I know, I did.
I like that. I got the pause. She was unsure of how to spell her
own
name.
Now I'm humiliated. I need some change. I'm going to start spelling my name.
Listen, if you want some change, just put your hands in the pocket and pull some out.
So is your name on the website tonight, Shift, or?
I think so. Mike?
I don't know if our names are on
there. Yeah, whatever name you see on there, you could send it attention that name.
One of us will get it. I'm sure it's wonderful.
Mike's always excited to read new ideas.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be all right. That's Mike.
And what is it you're hoping to happen?
Well, what every writer wants to happen.
No, I'm saying what are you hoping that I can do for you?
Well, I'm hoping that you'll like the script and you'll direct it or, you know, make it work.
I'll make it work, you said?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just a writer. I'm trying to get the people that, you know, obviously produce stuff. So, it's a scientific genre. So, and I know you like scientific work. So, some that may be of interest to you.
Okay.
No.
Well, I will have.
May not be, but it may be.
I understand. Well, Elena reads everything that comes in first, so I will make sure she gets it.
And
she vets everything.
All right.
Just remember, I need presents.
You need what?
I need presents.
Oh, okay, I'll send you some chocolates or something.
Elena.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
Did you have a story?
Well, you wouldn't let me read the hot dog pizza story.
Well, how is that a story?
Exciting. I want to hear about the hot dog.
I'm sure you do, Chris. You and Elena should do a show about hot dog pizza.
The 80s
reruns.
Mike, you know, who knows? It could be something very interesting. It's change that this is change.
Chris.
All right. Do you want the mystery guest to go first since she is our guest?
Well, that's a good one. No, Elena, you can go first.
Marilyn offering $200 gift cards for dead snakehead fish. Getting paid to fish sounds like a dream come true to some, but does it have the same appeal if you're not going against a fish from hell that can travel on land and sink its teeth into a steel-toed boot? Ew.
Snakehead fish.
The Maryland Department of Natural Resources Inland Fisheries is hoping it's offering $200 gift cards through Bass Pro Shops to residents who capture and kill a snakehead, an invasive species from Africa that is upsetting the natural order of the local ecosystem. We do not want snakeheads in our waters. This initiative is a way to remind anglers that it is important to catch and remove this invasive species of fish. The snakehead was first seen in Maryland back in 2002 after an 18-inch adult was caught in a local pond, but the powerful fish, which has so natural predators in its region, is also determined surveillance they can survive for up to 4 days on land.
Yes. Now, and where have they taken over? Because I remember when they first hit, where have they taken over? What part of the town is this? What part of the country?
It has since migrated into the nearby Potomac River.
Mm.
It's illegal to sell snakeheads in most U.S. states. But, as I reported several years ago, federal agents have uncovered illegal snakeheads selling operations in several states.
Illegal snakeheads? Now, why do people want these snakes?
Not snakes, fish.
Fish. Snakefish.
Snakefish.
Dude, man, everybody's into something, man. Why do people have guns, man? Because, you know, everybody's always into something, man.
Go ahead, Elena.
To qualify for one of the $200 gift cards and assortment of other prizes, all you have to do is upload a photo of yourself with a dead snakehead.
That's all you got to do, Mike. You're going to get out there and start fishing.
The only complicated part is actually capturing and killing one of these fish from hell. One photo uploaded on Thursday by recreational angler Barry shows him with seven dead snakehead. He says he has to shoot them with a gun.
Damn.
Barry wrote that the snakehead had noticeably devastating the local...
What? The snakehead what?
Had noticeably devastating the local bass population.
Okay.
The snakehead are simply taking over the spawning grounds, he wrote.
Mm. So they've been wiping out the bass heads.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the way the world is, man.
Okay. Thank you, Elena. Who is that? Is that Tom from the Bronx?
Yes, it is.
Tom, do you want to tell us about some change that you embraced?
Well, yes. In fact, last week I had my favorite clock radio, and it broke, and I had to get rid of it and get a new clock radio.
Oh,
so the change was very devastating.
Yeah,
that is devastating.
Devastating. You know, I'd like to say about those fish that there are at least three different varieties of fish that have found their way to this country. And I always thought the snakehead came from China. But there is a fish that comes from China, the walking fish. There's a walking catfish, I think from South America.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fish that comes from China. Like Florida has a lot of those too.
Mm-hmm.
And they took well to Florida. I guess I suppose the alligators there have a lot to eat, you know, if they go after them. But
right.
They're a pest fish, really. That's what they are. Because they breathe air, they're the future dinosaurs. If they stay on land long enough, they'll become they'll develop legs. They'll
start
get
walking.
Bigger and they'll become dinosaurs.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Eventually.
Tom, what are we going to do? How are we going to change it? How are we going to?
Well, I know that they even took root in Queens for a while.
Oh, did they?
Well, they found some of them in Queens.
Are they coming to the Bronx next?
It's possible, but you know what it is. In Queens, they got to live near the salt water. So, in other words, they really can't be too much of
a mess. There's salt water in the Long Island Sound, and then they can get over, like, by
no, but it's a freshwater fish. It's not salt water.
No, it's not salt water.
They may be able to live in salt water for a while, but they don't...
Those things could wind up in the sewer system, and all of a sudden...
No, but you know what you have in the sewer system?
No,
I read it years ago.
Tom, listen. You know, I'm glad that you're into the snakes. I just want to know if you have any...
You know what they have? They have...
Oh, my God.
They have a lizard. There's a lizard.
Oh, is there?
That took root.
Godzilla?
Helena.
No, yes. But a lizard that took root in the sewer system from Manhattan.
How'd you let this happen, Helena?
I'm sorry. You gave me a prop.
And they're dangerous. They can take your fingers off. They get very powerful jaws.
I have plenty of other stories.
But they started to multiply in the sewer.
All right, you can give me one more story. I don't think he's going to tell us about any change in his life.
New York City denies it. They don't want to scare the public. But they have actually taken the sewer system a lizard.
Oh, my goodness. Now we're into lizards?
Mike knows about the lizards.
But they're fast-moving.
Fast-moving lizards. Well, you know all about fast-moving lizards, don't you?
Absolutely. That's how I got my first 10,000 boyfriends.
All right, Alita, read us a story, because Tom is just going to keep going.
Right. Robert Kuhn, a man from Massachusetts, was arrested in a rusted exhaust pipe while pantless.
Arrested in a rusted exhaust pipe. Is that what you said? Arrested in a restaurant exhaust pipe.
While pantless and greasy. On the night of April 4th, he is 26 at his former employer, the now closed restaurant.
And so he was living, he got fired, and so now he was kind of squatting in the exhaust pipe.
He probably meant to execute the perfect crime. It was meant to be a burglary that involved entering but not breaking. Instead, he became an Exhibit A in the case against Santa Claus, delivering presents to restaurants.
In the case against Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is in there, too.
How is Santa in this?
That's because Kuhn didn't get far down the 2x2 air shaft
When did this story happen?
April 4th.
How? Now, are you sure this was not April 1st you got this story?
No. The Boston Herald reports that Lido's owner and Kuhn's old boss...
Wait. Read that name again?
Kuhn. His name is Kuhn.
No, before. The name before.
Lido's is the restaurant that he was robbing.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Don called the local police to report a pair of legs dangling out of his chimney.
Wait, Gon is his name?
Don Carissa.
Oh, Don. Okay.
Gone.
When officers arrived at about 9:55 p.m., Kuhn allegedly told them, "I'm stuck." A fireman is said to have lapped uncontrollably before helping him out. So he took his pants off.
What? Laughed?
Laughed uncontrollably.
Santa Claus laughed.
No, the fireman did.
Well, where is Santa fit in this?
Because he tried to go down the chimney. He took his pants off.
Okay.
He greased himself up so that he could simmy down.
And then he got stuck.
He
shouldn't have had that last meal at KFC.
Right.
I understand.
The guy took his clothes off and greased himself up.
So he could slide down the chimney.
And he got stuck.
And he got stuck.
Into where?
At least he got stuck partially out. To get into where he used to work. I didn't find this, sir. This is Elena bringing the story. I asked for Life is Like Science Fiction. She brings, Life is Like a Redneck Movie. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Goodness.
Thank you.
Oh, look, he's back.
What's the phone number here?
212-209-2900.
212-209-2900. All right, Mr. Gist, do you have a real story?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a real story. 2x2 inches pipe.
Yeah,
and his legs were dangling.
Pipe. You can
And he took all his pants. He took all his clothes off.
All his pants off, as opposed to leaving on part of his pants.
Look, you want to know what attracted Elena to that story? Reading somebody had their pants off, and she was all into it.
Hello, you're on the air.
And the dangling.
Hello,
part.
Tom. Come on now. Enough. Enough, Tom. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Just so you know,
yeah,
that guy who got halfway down the chimney swoop and got caught. And the firemen laughing as they try to pull him up. That's a bit of a plot line of, I guess it's an incident, from the movie Larry, Chuck and Larry. Remember that movie?
I missed that one.
You missed Chuck and Larry?
I don't know how.
Oh.
You know? What was I thinking?
You guys.
I dated Chuck and Larry.
Two guys pretended to be gay, so they pretend to be married, so they get the...
Yeah, I remember the synopsis. Yeah, that was part of the reason why I...
There's a guy they had to do a rescue. His legs were still dangling out while they were having...
Wasn't that the premise of a Tom Hanks show?
It wasn't a Tom Hanks. It was
Wasn't Bosom Buddies the same premise as Chuck and Larry?
Something James.
Kevin James.
All right. So listen. Okay. Sir?
Yeah.
Do you have... any change that you've embraced that has transformed you?
Well, change is transformative.
Yes, well, hopefully.
Yeah. I'll have to get back to you on that
Boy. Damn. And what's your name, sir?
Oh, Michael from East Harlem.
Michael, I like your name.
Mike, what's happening, brother?
Yeah.
So how long have you been listening to the show, Michael?
Actually, I've been, cleaning up the apartment and listening halfway. But then
Is this the first time you ever heard the show?
No, I've called in before.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you listened all the way back to the Brown Vaseline days, eh?
Not that far back. I'll plead the ninth on that one.
Exactly.
No, I remember Mike.
Yeah, like you.
Lena remembers you.
He remembers anybody.
Ah, thank you.
So, Mr. Guest?
Yes, you want a story?
No, first I want your answer. I want your story first.
Okay, you touch a very big point because I have an issue about changes since I've been changing.
What is your issue?
Issue. Just today I just said, because I have those muscles on my back, so what is it? Is it gym? No, it's 30 movings. I move 30 times with my own forces.
I understand. You know?
So it's a lot of change. There are people, they move 3, 4, maybe 10, but 30.
Oh, 30 times?
30 times, 30
Why
apartments.
So many times?
30
What's
apartments.
Going on?
She's a nomad. I'm
a nomad.
She is who is one with the wind.
Remember?
Yes.
You like that.
You get bored with guys or something? Is that
what yeah, she goes from boyfriend to boyfriend. That's what
no,
it is.
No, that's too easy. No. No,
it's
I just.
Too easy.
I just changed. I never changed. Sometimes, but a few times.
Sorry, now all this change. What's your issue?
Issue. No, I mean, I was studying and I wanted to travel at the same time. So.
You figured you travel around the boroughs?
No. I'm doing that in New York. Well, it seems that I really have a gypsy heritage, probably. Because I can see it also in my features sometimes that I have a gypsy background. But anyway, can you see it, Chris?
I love it.
Chucky! Oh, my goodness! Chucky!
There's something crazy going on here.
What's going on?
Pay no attention to Elena.
Okay.
Pay no attention. Go ahead with your story.
Now the problem is strange because at that time, after 30 times moving around, it's true that I keep doing, but not in a definitive way right now. I'm not ready for a definitive change now.
Now, I understand that, and that's your present day, but here's my question. In your past, has there ever been change that was thrust upon you?
That
you fought
to do it?
So you've never had change come that you didn't embrace. You've always embraced change.
I was the one who caused the changes.
I understand.
Yeah.
He initiated it.
So you have no piles?
No. But, I mean, maybe if I go back in the memory, but it's such a long way.
I know.
Even if
such a goofy question.
So, but if it was up to you, would you just, travel, Europe and stuff? If you
in Europe a lot. I couldn't afford to pay my apartment while I was abroad. I just left it. So, you know, I left a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Well, that brings to an interesting point because I've known this in people. I've known other nomads like yourself. Uh-huh. And one thing that they do gain, okay, some consciously, some unconsciously, some I've said, blah, blah, blah. And they go, In all this moving, one of the things, like you just mentioned with your apartment, by moving so much, forces you to have less stuff. Because if you have a lot of stuff, every move is like an event.
Yeah.
So you end up having less and less and less. And when you have less, you realize you actually need less.
Right.
And you can still have a full life without, like, every book you've ever read or whatever it is in your apartment. So my question then is, having moved so much, has it changed your sense of what you need to survive and what you need to be comfortable?
No, that's very ironic, because since I'm in New York, I'm seeing that I'm getting stuff. But it is about the city. You know, the city, I think, drives you in that direction.
I think it's America, babe.
America,
like, there's storage facilities everywhere. Everybody's got more than they need.
Yeah.
We're a country of excess.
Yes, I can see that.
Yes, go ahead.
So I have a lot of clothes.
So you're saying you have more, you've been, as opposed to losing stuff as you move, you just have more and more stuff to move each time.
Yeah, and that's why now.
Hence the muscles on your back.
No, that's now, that's why now I have difficulties to move. Because I can see that, I mean, and I cannot.
Because now you're looking forward to the event.
No, and you know, I'm in Brooklyn, there is more space, and I cannot figure out, you know, another apartment. You see, this is so tricky. And then I don't go to stores anymore because I know that I don't have any space in my closet left.
Right.
But then it happens, you know, you are with a friend, you go inside, and no, this is something I want.
The accumulation of stuff, believe me. That could be a documentary.
But it's also about the sales, you know, the last 2 years, it's sales every day. And they say, today is 40%, and then the next day is 50%, and then it goes on like that. Mm. Right?
They snap you.
This is when you say right like that, you know, if you're talking to another woman.
All I need.
I don't really go for sales.
Things,
unless it's for electronic equipment. Paper
and of course.
I'm on my way, man. You give me some
Chris has just got his gun and his shotgun. His gun and his dog. And he's fine.
Roll of toilet paper and my toothbrush, and I'm ready. I got my bag, and that's all I need.
You don't even need a toothbrush. Just get a bark, a piece of twig. You can brush your teeth with a twig. Well,
I've done that.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
In what, camping out, or just when you couldn't find it at home?
You
couldn't find it at home. Yeah, she does. She brushes with a twig at home. Hello, you're on the air.
Of course. I found it in my hair.
Okay. What's the phone number here?
212-209-2950.
No, it's not.
2900.
I can't believe you gave it the wrong number. 212-209-2900.
Listen, I'm telling you, everybody's got the wild head tonight. Everyone's head sucks.
Everybody's got the wild head, you say. What does that mean? You know, we're streaming. In case you're listening, you are attuned to listener-sponsored radio,
like
WBAI,
right,
99.5 FM, and we're on the web at WBAI.org, but we're streaming live with video. You can see Elena, the mystery guest, Chucky. Hold Chucky up there, Elena.
Hey, Chucky!
Put him close to the camera. There you go. Chucky. I pulled out my Chucky doll, which is over 20 years old. Someone had put braids in his hair, like a la Bo Derek, and I never took him out, and now his hair is so fragile that if you pulled it, it would probably pull the whole braid out.
It's like my hair.
He's a hippie now. He's a hippie, Chucky.
He's a hippie dad. So there he is, Chucky.
Look, Mike, I got out one of my dreads.
Did you? You took out one of your dreads?
I had to have assistance. But
you had dreads?
She did.
I still have more, but
she's training Fernando to scratch them out, though. So, you can go to the Facebook page, NITESHIFT, Night Shift, and you can get the link to us streaming live on the web. You can see Elena and Chucky. Mr. Guest, you didn't get to read your story.
Okay. I have a sad one about a guy in China who sold his kidney in order to buy an iPhone and an iPad. Okay.
That sounds
okay.
Cheery.
So five people in southern China have been charged with intentional injury in the case of a Chinese teenager who sold a kidney so he could buy iPhone and iPad. The government, the five included a surgeon who removed the kidney from the 17-year-old boy.
Wow.
The boy now suffers from renal deficiency. And the report didn't say who received and paid for the kidney. The teen was from Hanoi, one of the China's poorest provinces.
Wow.
Where inhabitants frequently live to find work and a better life elsewhere. He bought an iPhone and iPad, and when asked by his mother where he got the money, admitted selling a kidney. So it seems that Apple products are hugely popular in China, but are priced beyond the reach of many Chinese. iPhone starts at $633, and the iPads begin at $474. Is it the same price here?
You know, I don't know. Are they giving you the American funds?
But I don't think
funds?
It's much more than in here. But anyway, only a fraction of the people who need organ transplants in China are able to get them, leading to transplant tourism, where patients travel overseas for such operations, and to a black market for human organs. China banned the trading of human organs in 2007. Several other suspects involved in the case are still being investigated. Sad. That's what I would comment, just sad.
It's sad that it only was banned in 2007.
Exactly. I was thinking exactly that. Wow, like that late in the game, eh? You know, it's like, how long they've been doing it? Well, I guess we should make it illegal. So, Chris.
Chris has to tell you the story. No, you have to tell us the story.
That was the kind of world they've made, Chris.
Mike?
No, it's really, really scary that these things that seem to happen, you know, quite a couple of times. Here you hear this kind of a story.
Well, it's you know, it says a lot about a lot of things, I think.
Yeah, man. I mean, we live in a world that is materialistic and sad but true. And
well, you know, not only that, but we really, you know, we're at, you know, do certain toys improve the quality of your life? Mm-hmm. Or is that just the impression you have?
Well, it's not just toys. I mean, all through history. I mean, people have sacrificed any number of.
Yeah, but never in history of people selling their kidneys to get some gadget.
Right.
That hasn't happened yet.
Well, that's they don't call it gadget anymore. It seems a survival item right now. iPad and iPhone, are you kidding?
You cannot survive without an iPad.
Without an iPad, probably, yes.
You cannot survive
Maybe
without an
a
iPad.
A few years.
What do you think, Elena? Can you survive without an iPad? Are you not surviving? Do you have an iPad?
Actually, I'm stealing the one from the mystery guest after we leave.
No, sir, that's not an iPad. That's
laptop. Do is put any of these new items in somebody's hands and let them around with them for an hour or so. That's all it takes. And then they've got to have one or something along those lines.
Well, I do love my iPhone. I sleep with it.
Like, because you were like, oh, man, I just talked my texts. And it was like, yeah, I talk my texts now, too.
You talk your texts?
I talk my email, too.
There it is. I talk everything. I get back to my computer. I'm like, computer? And it doesn't exactly. So I have to get that new attachment for Dragon. Actually speaking, I had to spend $200. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning. Can I turn my radio down?
I would hope so.
Sound like Monroe.
All right. No, this is not Monroe.
I know, dude. It doesn't sound like Monroe laughing.
Okay.
Is this who?
Oh, one more thing. We can't get down on the
show. Yes. What? Your secondary device? You got to turn that down too.
Okay. Like you were saying, I mean that process now. I was up, like I said, a large apartment. I don't know if should I move, like you say, thing accumulate. And I'm in that process of things have memory, you know what I'm saying? And things have value. Should I give them away, donate them, or what?
No, man, it's tough.
Right?
Because everything you can look at, you know, I have the same problem. I like to look at all my stuff. And if I can't see it, like somebody, someone wanted to see, they hadn't seen Blade Runner, Mike, so I broke out my Blade Runner suitcase. You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
Yes, I do.
My Blade Runner suitcase, and I thought of you, and I had a moment, and I
thought
of
him,
and I showed him my suitcase for Blade Runner. They thought I was a
freak.
Right.
Caller.
Uh-huh.
Watch what you talk about, because it'll only trigger Chris. So go ahead.
Okay.
So what was your point, sir?
The point is, I mean that, how you say that crossroad, you know, would it be good for me or would it be bad? You know, like you say, change.
Well, of course. That's it. You're at a crossroads. I, too, am at a crossroads. I'm trying to be the architect of my own change, you know, for what I want.
You moving, know. Mike? Is that what's happening?
And shaking.
Where's Brother Brian?
You going to move?
He said, Brian. Is it?
He just needs to change his wardrobe.
Mike loves where he lives. If Mike has to make a move, this is every 12 years Mike has to make a move.
I'm going to put on my wizard hat because I am the wizard.
But am I right, Mike? Every 12 years? Oh my.
Yo, but the thing is, I've been living here since, almost 40 years.
How many years? 3?
40.
40 years. Wow. You live in the same place?
Uh-huh.
Like me, exactly like me.
Exactly. You two should get together because you'd be the polar opposites. So, like, I moved 30 times. I live here 40 years. You're like, wow, you're black, I'm white. Okay, so finish.
Now you see my point?
I do, I see. You are the yin to her yang.
4 years.
You are the anti-nomad.
You probably got the original something. When you moved in there, you probably still got it.
I do.
The original something. Yeah. Now they can speak in code. You probably got that original something back in the beginning of the thingy wingy. So,
it's like walking in a time tunnel.
I understand.
Wow.
Do you have the Oscar Goldman doll?
Is it?
Goldman doll. It's worth $80.
It's worth serious money. I should assume then that your answer is that you've not really embraced any change. You stayed in the same place for 40 years. And what do you do for a living? Have you done the same thing for a long time?
I say illustration. You know.
Oh, okay. You're an artist. You make a living on your art.
Enough to get by.
Hey, I commend you. If you can make a living on your art, you're doing good.
That's why I'm still here. That's what I'm saying. That move would interrupt that change, you know.
Hey,
understand. You know, all I can say is the really hard thing is
what, Mr.
Whenever you decide to make a move, it's very difficult.
Well, after 40 years, I don't think he's going to make any moves.
If you decide to put yourself in storage, it can get very costly.
I know that.
You know, it becomes ineffective. It's like you're going to pay $150
they're talking about
$200 a month.
Yeah, but practical thing. Ooh. Well, it seemed to me that he wanted to ask us how can he make that final change.
Oh, that's what I thought he was asking.
Yes, but, right?
Maybe. Right. Were you?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to ask us, sir?
It's like a borderline. Yes and no. I want to stay. I want to go. It's like, you know, you're getting ready to cross the street. And
I'll give you, here's what I will say, you know.
I can give you some training if you want.
Oh, she can.
Oh, I love that.
Change training. You need to patent that right away. Change training. That's right. Down here at the change lab, you can go do change training.
I can build up a new job.
You see, Mr. Guest, she'll be like, I moved 30 times in 2 years, okay? How many times did you move?
10 years.
Okay.
It'll be your own reality show.
How many times
show.
Have you moved? How long have you lived right where you are? How long have you stayed where you are?
In the same city? Are you crazy? In the same city? In the same country?
Exactly. Change training can change you.
She'll call
down.
Shame you into it.
1-800-CHANGE-IT. All right. So, sir?
Yes?
We can give you tips on change tips.
Okay.
You want some
number
change?
One, what would you do?
Well, first, identify what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Second, identify what
you need.
Looks like it's in your way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And hopefully now, I say that like what Mr. Guest says, hopefully you already know what you need, you know, to survive. The practical stuff, hopefully you figured out. But if there's a change, here's my question. What kind of a change do you want? Do you want a change of lifestyle, change of finance, change of
location?
What do you want? What kind of change do you want?
It would be a combination of a little of each, because when you move, I say the price of living goes up, I can go down. No.
Well, let's put it this way. Here's the only thing I would say, because I don't want to stay on too long. But, you know, if you're an artist and you're an illustrator and you work at home, okay, mm-hmm. How often do you have to go in to see the people you work for?
That's like, you see, 3 times a week.
You have to go see them? You do?
Mm-hmm. You know, show samples. I don't mess with the computer.
Well, you see, there it is. Here's what I will say. If you get yourself a computer, your life would change. I'll tell you why. Because I know many artists, friends who are professional artists, blah, blah, blah. You know, with a computer, what you're able to do is you're able to do what you